I have no relevant financial relationships.
Or any.
I have no relevant financials. Okay, I'd like to talk today about the relationship of the parent-child in terms of maximizing nutrition inputs in resource scarce settings. First, the global context. Most of these numbers we have all memorized by now, but about 9 million children die each year before their fifth birthday, and over half of them will have died of something that's associated with malnutrition as a contributing factor. And we know that exclusive breastfeeding and appropriate introduction of complementary foods, a healthful hygienic environment, and good quality basic primary health care would eliminate much of this problem today. Malnutrition is also frequently associated with poorer development outcomes, and I want to talk a little bit about the inverse of that. Poor development outcomes may be contributing to malnutrition as well. So what is the dynamic between those two, and is there something we could be doing in nutrition programming that might maximize our impact in high poverty settings? We know that caring interactions between the caregiver and child promote the health and development of children and increases resilience of young children to the damaging effects of poverty and deprivation. And I think this is an important point to pause on. I mean, basically, when we're working in the settings where we work overseas, when we're doing nutrition work, when we're doing child development work, health work, we're essentially trying to overcome poverty and deprivation that puts kids at much higher risk. And so we're trying to lower that and create an opportunity where kids in these environments actually, as they begin to enter school, are healthy and competitive and are not disadvantaged, or we've minimized that. So, logically, caring interactions could and should enhance nutrition growth promotion activities as well. So at Child Fund, a little over a year ago, we began thinking about what we're calling now community-based enhanced growth promotion, and began by a review of four of our national programs which do early child development or ECD and or nutrition growth promotion activities. Those country programs included Bolivia, Ecuador, and Honduras, as well as Senegal. We've also done a thorough review of the early maternal and child feeding and nutrition literature and the development literature. We've been working on a causal framework, which I'd like to talk to you a little bit about today, and we're currently designing some pilot interventions based on this work. As we reviewed the literature, we saw that we followed in the footsteps, of course, researchers before us, but identified five general sets of factors that contribute to one of our core strategic outcomes at Child Fund International, which is to have healthy and secure infants and young children. Just a brief aside, our organization is really dedicated to child development around the world. We work in over 30 countries, and our goal is to accompany children from infancy to adulthood to maximize their potential. So the five sets of factors that we identified include infant and child individuality, good parenting skills, optimal nutrition intake, a healthy environment for infants and children in which to live, and of course adequate care, health care availability. I'd like to identify some of the individual elements of those five as part of our framework. When we look at infant and child individuality, weight length, gestational age at birth are all extremely important predictors. There are also issues of temperament, genetic expression, and physical and neurological integrity. And so in the design of any program, we want to be able to be sensitive to those elements, and especially when working with mothers around issues of, say, temperament and the integrity of the infant. Good parenting skills involves development stimulation. Many of the environments where we work, there's actually the environments are low stimulation environments, and so that's an issue for us to look at. The network of caregiver support, as well as a social network of support, maternal support, are both very important, as reported in the literature, in terms of providing the mother with the needed care and guidance and support she needs in order to work with a child. Bonding and attachment of the kid, of the child, is absolutely essential. We know that a responsive caregiver leads to a child that's generally has a positive attachment to the mother. That attachment, in turn, leads to improved development of social relations and social skills, and ultimately to decreased behavioral problems. So there is a chain of activity that is associated with early child development that corresponds with a time when the child is growing very rapidly, and we'd like to see how we could complement and link those two together. A good feeding relationship, particularly one that builds upon principles of early child stimulation and development appropriate activity for the child, are issues. And finally, we know that coping skills of mothers, of parents, are extremely important in terms of mediating all of this. Maternal depression, chronic anxiety and stress are issues, as well as drug, alcohol abuse within the household, whether it's the mother or the spouse, and certainly domestic violence are all factors associated with this heading of good parenting skills. Optimum nutrition intake, many of us know what we mean by that. Certainly, immediate and exclusive breastfeeding, family food security is crucial, introduction of appropriate complementary foods, and again, looking at this in the context of development appropriate feeding practices, and then weight recovery after illness, which we frequently see not occurring in settings where we work. Healthy environment for children. I won't go through all of this, but you see certainly proper hygiene practices in and around the home. Inner utero environmental exposure can be an issue, and that does include maternal behaviors or states such as depression, anxiety, and stress. The health and nutrition of the mother prior to the first pregnancy is a factor. If any of you heard David Barker last night at the Agnes Higgins lecture, he talked about how the grandmother's health and nutrition is a factor. Maternal nutrition during pregnancy, including micronutrients, obviously, age of first pregnancy, stature, birth spacing, safe pregnancy, and delivery, of course, are all important factors. And then adequate health care, prenatal care, and generally speaking, as a global community, we're doing better in that, but still more than half of women in the world are delivering outside of facilities, and a third of them without any kind of skilled attendance. Breastfeeding support, very important. The early neonatal period, extremely important. And then, of course, as the child ages, looking at the child, what we call the child survival strategies of immunizations, and timely treatment of diseases, parasitic infections, and micronutrient supplementation. Mediating factors, we wanted to look at not only what factors may describe or can be described in a framework of a healthy early child development, but also what factors occur when. And this helps us very much in terms of thinking through a design of a project and what we think we would be able to and like to achieve. So we looked at many of the factors I've just reviewed briefly with you in terms of prior to delivery, immediately after delivery, the neonatal period, during the first year of life, and then during the second and third years of life as well. So we again did that. I think I won't go through all of these factors, but I'll put them up for you to see. prior to delivery. We've mentioned many of these issues. Workload is a serious issue in some of the areas where we work, and having alternatives for pregnant women to be able to cut back the workload during pregnancy is a serious consideration for it. Immediately after delivery, of course, is focusing on the neonate and the mother as well, reinforcing the message of exclusive breastfeeding as well as proper hygiene in the home and practices. During infancy, a lot of focus on the nutrition component of the activity, but working closely with the mother on bonding and achievement between the infant and the child, feeding practices, introduction of appropriate foods, et cetera. These issues we've talked about before. Second and third years of life, really there continues to be a significant developmental activity taking place within the child, and it's a great opportunity to strengthen the attachment between the young child and the mother, as well as preparing the child in terms of developmental staging for more social skills development that begin to take place late in the third year, and that's historically focused in early child development activities as we know it, in terms of school readiness, kindergarten, preschool activity. These are phases in which the child is now set, generally more in group settings, and where social skills become very important, or the development of social skills. What we've been talking about now leads up to that, and that's we imagine that's our focus for our pilot, is to look at this prenatal and the first 3 years of life leading to the what oftentimes in the world ECDs thought about for the first time, at least in social programming at the preschool level. A number of factors that we've talked about before I won't review here. In any setting where we go, we know that there will be cultural and contextual factors that need to be taken into consideration, and in fact, what we mean by child stimulation and what our expectations are regarding child development, what are appropriate mixes of complementary foods, all are locally context relevant and change from place to place. So I just put these up as factors that we would want to consider in any program design, would be the to reflect on those local factors that are important, including maternal influentials. In Senegal, for example, the role of the grandmother in the home, extremely important, and a great place or set of influentials with whom to work in order to have a significant impact on maternal practice. The overall conceptual model now, as we're moving this forward, in simple terms I wanted to share with you, we imagine our program working with moms and parents and their children, and focusing on at from pregnancy through the third year of life, working with them on knowledge as well as practice in parenting of attachment, development, appropriate feeding, and early stimulation. Of course, the nutritional intake, healthy environment, healthcare availability are all important elements to that. The means by which we propose to do this is through monthly growth and development monitoring, and essentially in group settings, education, information sharing, practice, peer reinforcement and support, as well as home visitation to reinforce the messages and to target homes for higher risk children. Higher risk children could be children who are, for example, low birth weight, who demonstrate perhaps early behavioral difficulties for the mother, where attachments do not seem to be strong, working with the mothers. Okay, thank you. And referring those children who may have special developmental needs and problems on. We expect the outcomes we'll be looking at, certainly around physical growth, attachment, and then selected development indicators we're still sorting through. I just want to stress briefly that the long-term social impacts that we expect are full growth potential, readiness for school, and good school performance, healthy social relationships, increased work performance, and increased income are all elements that have been linked clearly in the literature as distinctly possible outcomes for this kind of strategy. So we're now looking at, in more depth, in three countries, in Indonesia, Senegal, and Kenya, in terms of doing this. And we expect to be working on this over the next 3 years. So I thank you and ask you to stay tuned. I'd like to continue to share this with this audience as the work moves forward. Thank you very much. Yeah, I think that's really important in terms. Oh, excuse me. In terms of a program design, there are natural limits that one faces in terms of resources, time, and so forth. What we imagine is that we will be identifying women who are pregnant or who have very young children at project initiation, and certainly the issues of pre-pregnancy nutritional status, of spacing births, of determining the appropriate number of children and when to have them are all important elements that would move forward with the design, so that what we're anticipating is working with moms so that not only do they maximize nutritional or say growth and development outputs of their current child, but anticipating in the future of improving conditions for the next as well.
Another question?
I think it's great that you're looking at depression, control, and attachment and the feeding behaviors. As you go around different countries, how are you going to look at the concept of depression in other cultures, what may not be accepted, or you have to overcome stigma?
Yeah, well, to tell the truth, I don't know. But we're going to have to work with mental health professionals and academics in those countries and understand what the culturally appropriate terminology, diagnoses, and treatment for those are, and work with them, you know, at that level, I would say. But we don't go in with a formula for how they'll be either diagnosed or treated.
I'm sorry, we're going to have to. Thank you, David.
Yeah, sure.
Thank you. Yeah. Thank you.
Okay.